100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos. Driven by Hunter City Motor Group.
And we're back for Tuesday. Let's Good go. Morning, everyone.
Hello.
And Ari's back.
I'm back, baby.
Here. Yeah, woo! The team is here. You had your big adventure.
Which did not go ahead, really.
Oh, no.
Oh, look, circumstances happen. You know, life has other plans, but that's fine. We're still going to go up to the Denman Farm eventually, and I'll still meet the in-laws, but
the elusive Denman Farm.
Yeah, I know. Look, it was disappointing, but it wasn't anyone's fault, really. It was, just didn't go ahead, but that's okay, because we spent the day at Glen Rock, which was all fun and games.
Nice.
Have lots to tell you later.
Yeah, nice. Well, maybe one day you can do a video call with the horses.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like a little Skype call?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Just tell them to, you know, get their phone out or whatever.
Pets on Skype, they hate it. Pets on Zoom hate it.
Really?
Do they?
Oh, can't get my dog on FaceTime like this, like anybody's business.
Really?
He does want to be about it. Or they're camera shy.
Oh, camera shy.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something... Do we need to know something about the pet? Does it have like a fifth leg or something that's a bit shy of?
Tilly doesn't like the camera, and neither does Chacho, the cat.
I wonder why that is.
They just don't like the camera. They know when the camera's getting pulled out, and they sort of pull away.
Oh.
Wow. Who knew?
When you do catch her on a good day, Tilly's a poser and a half, but like if you're just going to go take a photo, sometimes she's not.
What a funny dog. Oh, well, I don't know if it applies to horses. Maybe we'll find out.
Oh, they like to stick their big, beautiful noses in everything. So, yeah.
You reckon it'll be right?
I reckon it'll be fine, yeah. Clydesdale's a big, beautiful beast. They should be everywhere.
Who would have known would be talking about pets and whether they're camera shy or not?
Camera shy pets.
You never know what's
going to
happen on this show.
The Novos. UFM. Would I lie to you?
Oh, and your first chance to win nice and early today.
What a treat.
Excuse me. We've got a double to go and see Sunset Boulevard at the Sydney Opera House.
It's been a long time since it's been in Australia, so to come back for the first time since 1996, you want to be there. You want to go check this out.
Yeah, this is an incredible show. We're playing Would I Lie to You. If you've never heard how this game works... perhaps you're new to the show or you just haven't heard it. Welcome. All you got to do is figure out who has the real item in front of us. Today, it is myself versus Ari.
Yeah.
One of us will have a real item here. The other is just making it up. And if you can figure that out, the prize is all yours. A double pass to go and see Sunset Boulevard at the Sydney Opera House.
Beautiful.
I guess the skill you need here is to be a bit of a good lie detector.
If you can pick up on the little subtle hints that they might not have the item in front of them, it could go a long way in securing you these tickets.
Mm. Yeah, Scott will help you along as well.
I can try.
Well, because we want you to win.
Well,
right?
I have an idea of who's got what in the studio because I'm sitting 2 feet away from each of you.
Yeah, but maybe,
I have an idea.
Maybe you could like prompt with some questions or something.
Maybe. So come with your questions ready.
That's it. All right. 4967-4105. Let's meet our contestant for today, Kathy in East Maitland. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, very good, thanks. Now, would you say normally that you're pretty good at telling if someone's fibbing to you?
If I can see their face, I can't see their face.
See, that's the hard part, Kathy.
That is the hard part.
Audio medium.
That's it. Okay.
See how we go.
Yeah, well, so that's okay. I reckon you got this. A double pass to go and see Sunset Boulevard at the Sydney Opera House is up for grabs. Who do you want to go first, myself or Ari?
Okay, you.
All right. So what I've got in front of me is actually Umbrella in a Tin. Now,
what?
It looks like a glasses case that you might have that snaps open. I'll see if there's any noise when I snap it open. A little bit. Okay, and inside is an umbrella. It's a tiny, compact umbrella. I'm not going to open it inside because it'd be bad luck. But I will open the little Velcro bit. You know there's like a little Velcro that's like a little string thing that goes around? I'll open that. So have a listen.
Oh,
now that did sound like Velcro, didn't
ASMR.
It? Yeah. All right, so that's what I have, Umbrella in a Tin. So,
strange.
Let's move over to Ari now and see what she apparently has.
Okay, so my item that I brought in today was something that I actually bought myself over the weekend from Aldi. I decided to relive a bit of my childhood and kind of get myself a little Kinder Surprise egg. Everyone used to love Kinder Surprises, I'm sure, which still actually do come with the little plastic toys within the chocolates encased. Sure. So I was like, oh yeah, nice little Kinder Surprise, surprise toy on the inside. So I built this little green frog that it came with. So it's, you know, for kids, so it's not very hard to build. It comes in two halves. You snap it together, and then, yeah. And so it's just sitting next to me here on my desk, keep me company. I nicknamed him Fred. So, yeah, he's a little green thing. He's probably the size of a 50-cent coin.
Okay. Do you have any questions for myself or Ari?
I'm thinking, is your umbrella in a tin must be for babies, or it'd be a very big tin?
Maybe ask him the size of the tin. How about that, Kathy?
Yeah. Okay. How big is your tin?
So it's as big as a big glasses case. You know, like you know when you get like a Sunny's case.
Yeah.
But then the umbrella folds down very small, and it's a full size umbrella, not like a golf one, but you know the ones that you'll just get, you know, from the house to the car or something, that sort of size.
Yeah.
It's like a backup umbrella.
Really dodgy. Your umbrella sounds very dodgy.
Well, when was the last time you bought a Kinder Surprise, Kathy?
My kids are all grown up, so I still like the sound of Fred, though. He sounds cool.
Fred the Frog.
Fred the Frog.
Yeah, Fred the Frog.
I like
Any
it.
Questions for Ari, or are we going to have to push you for an answer?
I'm going to go straight up Fred the Frog. You reckon, Ari.
So you think Fred the Frog is here? That pulling of the Velcro didn't convince you?
No, not at all.
Let's go to the answer and find out, shall we? All right, for the tickets to Sunset Boulevard, was Fred the Frog real? Unfortunately not.
Oh,
umbrella in a tin is real.
Sorry, Kathy.
It was a genuine umbrella.
Better luck next time, and thanks for playing. Simple as that. Or not really as simple as that,
no.
by the sounds of it.
UFM. The Novos.
The Novos.
What's the longest you guys reckon you could go without your phone?
Ooh, tough question. If I didn't have the business, I'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't think you need it?
It's very handy, but I could survive. It'd be fine.
Probably a day. Maybe less.
We had a bit of a chat about this yesterday with Crevo, and his phone usage screen time, Ari, through the roof.
Yeah, it's 5 hours or something.
Yeah, 5+ hours. Mine was up there yesterday, but I was binging a telly show. But that's a
good thing. That sounds like an excuse.
That's a different excuse. Sounds like an excuse, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A PhD student in China has travelled across the nation for 134 days without a phone.
134?
That's round figure. Let's go about 6 months.
Yeah. Holy dooly.
He's travelled a long time without using the phone. And he's come out with a few key points. And the big one is that he went back to his roots of reading and enjoying the environment around him. But then on the flip side, turned around and said that it's so hard to travel in a modern society in a contemporary world without access to the internet.
Well, this is my first thought, especially with traveling. A lot of your tickets are on there now. Yep. They don't even give you physical tickets.
Nope. Licenses as well. Like, it's just easier to carry your license on your phone, like your digital scripts and stuff. Yeah,
I guess. I mean, it's easy. You can carry a driving license. That's okay.
Some people hate it, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your international driver's license, a physical document. You have to carry that.
But, yeah, like other things that are just forced to be on there.
Your card?
Yeah.
And he's saying that one big one that he's talking about, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, so I won't attempt that. Mm-hmm. He's saying that even going to some businesses where they only accept cash, what's he to do? Because he's got a card. That's all he's got is he's got a card, and they're like, oh, no, we have no machines here. You can't use your... you can't transfer money or anything.
Yeah, right.
Wow. And so he's completely off the grid because everything's on his phone.
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah, you'd have to carry cash quite a lot as well. I mean, you could carry a bank card, I guess, and go to ATMs to get money out.
That's hard because, again, how are you meant to see your account balance?
Yeah, and maps as well.
That would be my biggest fear, is not having any directions on my phone.
Well, the big one that he said is he carried two digital cameras with him. And so he was able to document his experience, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it he had to find, as they've put it, creative solutions to problems.
Mm.
And often it would leave him scrambling to find things like ATMs because he can't use his maps to find an ATM, or he can't just, again, pull out the card of his phone and check his account balance. Like,
you're walking around looking, just where's an ATM?
And you don't want to be in any country looking like a tourist.
That's true.
That's bad. It's like blind leading the blind, isn't it?
Essentially.
You're just walking around in a circle going, well, I'm going to starve and have nowhere to go.
It goes back to the roots. Krivo, you've done a lot of travelling, and you've done a lot of travelling before the era of mobile phones.
Yeah, so it was dumb phones when I started. you have to ask a lot of people directions. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I forgot how much asking of directions, like, where is this? And even when you get close, you're like, where's this particular thing? They're like, oh, around the corner. You go around the corner, you can't see it.
Yeah.
Like, ask them again.
Not that corner.
Yeah, you've gone the wrong way. I forgot how much asking of, and how many tickets they have to carry. Oh, you're getting on the bus, on the train. You've got a stack of tickets for everything. Hotel reservations.
A very humbling experience it would be. I don't think I'd be game enough to do it.
Yeah, very challenging.
And we're very, as a predominantly English-speaking nation, and it's, again, as the world language as such, you go to a lot of foreign countries and they've got an English translation.
Yeah.
But that makes things so much easier. Mm. But imagine if that wasn't there and you couldn't understand anything.
That's the thing. When I went to China, there's no English anywhere.
That's so hard.
Oh.
Google Translate. Revolutionary.
Yeah. Before that, though, you just look at, there's just a menu with no pictures, nothing. What do you do?
Just point and go, that one.
Yeah, but there's no pictures. And it arrives and you've just ordered a pot of pepper or something. Like, that's not actually nutritionally valuable. It was a different time.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos, driven by Hunter City Motor Group.
Some news that I read last night, guys, absolutely shocked me to the core. So I was on the Newcastle Herald, just checking what's going around locally at the moment. So the uni here, so the University of Newcastle, which has been mentioned in our newsroom, live and local newsroom, has won a planning approval for a new $22 million nursing school on campus, which is fantastic, don't get me wrong. But the uni is planning to convert level 2 of the Information Communication and Technology Building, so the ICT, which is kind of the first building you see towards the left as you drive in to campus.
Right.
But they're turning it into this school of nursing and midwifery. It's going to be huge, but that's the building that I used to do most of my courses in when I was there at uni. And they're just going to get rid of all of it. That's complete with like a radio studio, a television studio, heaps of tutorial rooms filled with Macs to the brim. Like, and there's no idea.
They're not going to relocate them?
Surely they're moving it to another point on campus.
They would have to, but I've read through the article. There is not really a mention of that just yet. But it's said to say that it's going to be open midway through next year. So
they've got to decide soon.
Well, they would have to. Yeah, they might move to another space.
Yeah, they have to move to another space because you can't just get rid of a whole department.
Well, it shocked me that this is even happening because not even a couple of years ago, they knocked down one of the other major buildings on campus just up the way there next to the Great Hall, and that's where I used to do a lot of my tutorials as well. So it feels like the uni's constantly changing. It's heartbreaking.
To be fair, they're sort of a lot of like 70s buildings, aren't they? They're not exactly heritage listed.
That's true.
They're just sort of, no knocks on, the look of the university buildings.
Yeah.
But then they're not like built in a brilliant time of architecture.
That's true.
So if a few get knocked down and rebuilt, it could have. Honestly, I think it's a good idea.
I just think it's similar to like your childhood home. If like someone else moves into your childhood home and changes it, kind of breaks your heart a little bit. Well, so this is where I'm at with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also from the outside, I think it'll look better.
Watching you delicately pick your words, Krivo, is the highlight of my morning rather than just straight out say, it's an eyesore.
It was, let's just, like I said, a weaker time in architecture in Australian history.
A much weaker time, according to Krivo.
Yeah.
The New FM. Hey! We're gonna wanna remember. The Novos on this day.
Jumping straight back into On This Day in History. We'll kickstart with birthdays. Sebastian Stan, who plays in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's the Winter Soldier. And yes, that's Bucky Barnes. He's 42 today. Katrina Gorry from the Matildas, 32. Unfortunately, the Matildas not having a very good campaign in Paris, was it? Very, very disappointing. They were down and out. The coach is sacked and... Who really knows what's going on?
On the hunt.
New era going forward.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. Big thanks to, again, Tony Gustafsson for everything he's done.
Yes.
But moving forward, new coach, looking bright.
Yep.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Michael Klim, Australian Olympic swimmer, is 47 today. Alfred Hitchcock, it would be his birthday today. He passed away in 1980. It was on this day back in 1942, the start of the Manhattan Project with the aim of building an atomic bomb.
Oh wow.
Which I do believe the Manhattan Project, and I might be wrong on this, I'll check myself. Is this the Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Yeah, that's what that's based on. Yeah.
Okay, right.
Very interesting time in history.
Yeah. And the movie, you haven't watched the movie, go and check it out. It's 3 hours.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'd say yes.
Yes, right,
it was, but don't be tired while watching it. Like, you've got to, it's a concentrate movie.
Yeah, sure. You do need your full concentration eyes on.
Great.
Yeah.
And I watched it in the cinemas, and it's dark, it's cold, you're just like...
She's sleep again. Are you a big sleeper in cinemas?
I'm not, that's the thing.
Jake's got to the movies. He'll fall asleep on his shoulder.
I've only heard him watching 3 movies and 2 of them he slept in. Yeah. It's 2 out of 3.
Not 2 out of 3
ain't bad.
Mm.
1961, the start of start of Berlin being divided with the construction beginning on the Berlin Wall in East Germany.
What a waste of resources.
By 1989, it was started to be torn down. Now, have you been to Germany?
Only for a few days.
So Berlin Wall, when I went there, there's all these souvenir shops around the wall near Checkpoint Charlie selling bits.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is such a mad piece of history. You can have a piece of the Berlin Wall. Then you realize that it's just a commodity. Like, it is.
There's so much of it.
And there's so much of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, you'll be able to buy those, because they just sell you a tiny piece, like the size of a 10-cent piece or something in a bag.
Mm. Well, they could just be selling you any random brick from anywhere, right?
And also possible.
And probably what they're doing. They're serving it in like snow globes. So you're pretty confident that, you know what, they probably just dug up some asphalt off
whatever
Newcastle Road. God, yeah, right.
There you go. Have this. Dumb tourists we are.
1997, South Park debut. What a show. Are you a South Park fans?
Back in the day, but I haven't watched it recently.
Yeah. I hated it. My brother loved it, though. It's up his alley.
There's a lot of... obviously, it's all about the writing, not the animation.
Yeah.
The animation's very average.
Yeah.
But a lot of clever writing. I'll give it to them for that.
The best one they've, in my opinion, the best one they've ever done is the Harry and Meghan scenario.
I haven't watched it, but I want to now.
Very funny. And it's such a commentary of, like, social life as it is right now.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and they're very timely.
They're good at that.
They've done one recently, and I can't put my finger on what it is, but it was something big happening in the news, and they were like, South Park episode's coming out about it now.
Wow. That's the thing to watch.
Yeah, very quick. 2016, Michael Phelps, the most decorated American Olympian of all time. He retired from swimming on this day following the Rio Olympics. And there are those famous photos of him standing there just riddled with medals.
All his lifetime medals.
It is
impressive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You put them on a mantelpiece, the mantelpiece would collapse.
Yeah, like, probably.
The weight of them would just...
He'd have a room. Yeah. He'd have a trophy room, wouldn't he?
A bunker.
As an American,
yes.
How would you compete with that? How would you be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to stand up to Michael Phelps in the Olympics?
You wouldn't be brave enough, would you?
You just... No.
Yeah.
Even Katie Ledecky doing massive things for the US in swimming, as we've seen in the games in Paris. Done incredible stuff over there.
But yeah, not even close.
Well, but again, I don't know how close she is off the medal tally, but again, it's such a... That's the goal. That's the goal, to be like Michael Phelps.
Any Olympian is chasing medals, that is the ultimate goal, isn't it?
It is National Prosecco Day today. So pop a bottle.
Yes,
it's also International Left-Handers Day, which equates to roughly 10% of Australians are in the left-handed club.
Are you left-handed,
I am left-handed.
Did not know that.
So basically, it's a day to celebrate me with my wine and my left hand.
Yeah, there we go. You know what? What a revolution.
New FM. The Novos.
The Novos. The new part of ChatGPT is the 4.0 system card. Sounds very complicated. Basically, it's the fourth version that they're sort of in the process of releasing at the moment.
Mm.
Now, there's a function of this called voice generation, which I guess is a way for ChatGPT to create voice to speak back to you, right? Which sounds simple enough. Except in the testing phase, which is an open-to-the-public type testing where people can just use it, there's been instances where ChatGPT has been speaking back to the person using their own voice.
This is creepy.
An AI-generated version of your voice speaking back to you.
Hmm.
Now, think about, I guess, the implications of this. If it starts mimicking your voice, say, for example, you're on a phone call with, like, technical support, right? Or, say, for example, you're on a phone call with the bank, and then it starts speaking back to you in your voice. This thing's recorded.
Mm.
What's being said? Is it you or is it the computer? Who knows?
Mm. Well, the thing I suppose there was an issue going around recently. I don't know if it's exactly true, but you know when you get like these cold calls from like these random companies that are all like automated messages?
Yeah.
And if you say, oh, hello, this is such and such speaking, and then they're telling you not to answer the phone like that anymore because apparently you're getting recorded or something? It's this whole conspiracy theory. I wouldn't be worried, but yeah.
I mean, I would be worried because if you do speak to it, say, for example, a scam call calls you, and it can then talk to you in your voice, or it appears like it's you talking, there's so much to be, I guess. It opens a whole world for the criminal masterminds that are out there.
A lot of the banks, too, they use, like, voice verification. I know ANZ use it.
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
They can tell it's your voice. So if it's AI-generated and it's your voice, then essentially it could get through your verification
Surely there's a way around that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. But when there's new technologies at the start, there's always teething issues.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Who comes up with these ideas? Who goes, do you know what we need? We need a computer to talk back to us in our voice. Let's program that. Why would you do that?
No idea.
It's a good question. Yeah.
And the same with anything to do with artificial intelligence. Again, we're yet to be seen. It has its pros and cons. We're yet to be seen the actual full implications of artificial intelligence.
Mm.
But a lot of it, particularly when it comes to safety concerns, you go, who in their right mind develops this and goes, this is what we need as a human race?
I don't know, but all I can say is it feels like we're actually just in a plot of Black Mirror.
It's a simulation.
Now. Oh, yeah, like the show.
It really doesn't feel like a positive thing to be happening.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos, driven by Hunter City Motor Group.
And chaos ensued overnight while we were sleeping. Google went down.
Oh, no.
So Google Search, Gmail, YouTube, Google Drive, Google Meet, all of them became unresponsive, according to multiple users right across the US and Europe. And there are lots of complaints on a website called Down Detector, which I've never heard of it, but I'm assuming you put your website in there.
See if it's down.
If it's down. Yeah. Now, I can tell you with all confidence that Google is back up and running. And why I know that? Because I Googled it. You went on and you Googled. Are you working? And it says, yes.
Yes. So how long did it say how long it was down for?
Varying reports. Some people are saying like it could be as short as 20 minutes. Other articles are written here that it's a couple of hours.
Ooh.
So different parts of the world are different experiences and their outages. And again, because it went a lot of across the Northern Hemisphere, different stages, different parts of the world as such. So they're all experiencing different things. Twitter is the real winner, or X. People jumped onto Twitter
to complain about it.
And then
blown up.
Two things you got to jump on. One, Twitter to talk about it. And two, you got to dust through the archives to find Bing or Microsoft Edge or whatever the other useless ones are that no one uses.
Bing. I mean, what do you search? What would you search if it was...
I'd ask Siri to help.
Siri to help.
Yeah.
Siri's based off Safari, which is Google. Down.
Oh, and yours is
now it's activated. And now it's activated on mine. So, again, would that work?
Probably I don't know. Not. Probably not.
If Google was down, again, everything's connected to Google.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ask your mum.
Ask your mum. That's even better. Mums know everything.
Again, if the internet went down, even for 20 minutes, oh, wow.
What happens?
Yeah.
The world grinds to a halt, doesn't it?
Everything instantly stops. Looks like everything's back up and running now. It's the joys of living in the Southern Hemisphere. It all happened while we were sleeping.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Exactly. You couldn't have put it better myself.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
What happened? What started a fire in your life, okay? Was it out of control? Give us the details. Obviously, nothing that's going to be, you know, too dark,
shocking,
too deep, of course.
Light and bright to a degree,
that's
if we
right.
can.
Absolutely. So this comes after a video recently emerged online of a home over in Oklahoma. It was set on fire after one of the dogs in the household, started chewing through a little lithium-ion portable mobile phone battery, or, in other words, a power bank.
Oh,
so got hold of one of their owner's little power bank things, started chewing through it, and then kind of blew up in a way. So the device, they say, began sparking and lit the dog's bed on fire first.
Oh, so dangerous.
Poor puppy.
Well, the dog That's beds scary. Are often, they're sort of, you know, filled with polyester or whatever, and of course quite flammable.
Yeah.
But it can be very dangerous. Who knew?
Exactly.
Power banks.
The home was significantly damaged, the fire crews say, but the cat and the two dogs at home inside the house were able to escape through the dog door.
That's the main thing.
Have you seen this footage? Because the dogs stand there watching it.
What the hell's going on?
That looks hot.
Yeah, they leave and then they come back and they're having a squiz to check what's actually going on. It's all captured on like a nanny cam.
Yeah. Dogs are curious.
Dogs, very curious animals, very curious.
The fires can start in weird ways. A friend of mine was at went camping, and that one of the neighbouring campsites had a gas bottle catch fire. Now, these luckily don't...
What?
Yeah, luckily they don't explode, but what happens is fire shoots out of the end and then the gas bottle spins until the gas is depleted. I did not know that until I found that out.
You would think it would
explode. It was terrifying. Yeah, well, you would have thought so, but apparently they're designed not to. There's some sort of safety in the valve or whatever.
Holy dooly.
But you got to be so careful. Camping is one area where fire can start because you got fire in and around it.
Okay, well, my story has to be, I want to say a couple of years ago now, we have like one of those gas stoves. So like obviously the flames come up.
Yeah, whatnot.
And I had the tea towel used to just wipe my hands too close to the burner. Tea towel caught on fire.
Oh, you got to be so
terrifying.
Careful, right?
Yeah. Threw it in the sink, started screaming.
That's the logical thing to do.
I mean, I would say turn the tap on first.
Yeah,
but,
well.
You know, screaming can be in there for sure.
Geez.
Have you ever had any fire situations, Scott, yourself or someone you know?
I just remember years ago, we got mum's family friends live in a property in Queensland, just outside of Brisbane. But again, rural property.
Yeah.
Surrounded by bush. And the son, who is about my age, but at the time we were young, 10, 12, 13, something like that.
Yeah.
He set his own fire in the backyard, like a campfire, but just kept throwing crap on it, and it became this massive, massive... I can still picture it. And it was, again, you're surrounded by bushland, and then he goes...
Oh, my God, so dangerous.
All right, dinner time. And just left it. And everyone's just kind of standing there going...
I'm going to put the hose on that.
Yeah, so somebody should actually do that. I remember Dad walked out the bag, we're like, oh, I've just got to keep an eye on it.
As you would, right?
Man.
As you would. Sometimes, you know, fires, they can get out of control so quickly. Mm. They can happen with, you know, unexpected things that can cause them, I guess. This is the sort of story we're after. Your fire story is not too heavy. 4967-4105. Let's start in Maitland. Kim, what's your fire story?
Well, we were about, I would say, 12 years old, and we were actually making treasure maps.
Sure.
And I don't remember if you remember, but ages ago, you used to burn the edging of the paper and it would make it all look piratey.
That's how you make it, proper pirate map.
And I think you meant to get supervised with your parents. I remember people used to use like a cigarette or incense burners, but we decided to use like candles, and we had a bunch of friends in my bedroom, And what happened was all the paper set alight at once.
Oh.
And our instinct was to drop it. And each person was just bringing one cup in at a time, sprinkling water on it. So basically half the bedroom burned down.
Oh, everyone was okay in the end. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, not after our parents scolded us. But
that's a completely different kettle of fish, though, Kim.
And, you know, and a different time for, I guess, kids and how they were disciplined.
Yeah, but also, like, such a shame. Like, doing an activity as wholesome as that, and then, you know, the result was just devastating.
Did she find the treasure, though?
Well, we will never know. We've moved to the next caller.
We're down in the bedroom. Up in flames. Nicole's in Belmont. Hey, Nicole, what happened with the fire?
We were just sitting there one night and didn't realise the heat lamp had been left on in the bathroom, and heard a big pop, and I come out to see fire coming out of the light in the bathroom, and I started screaming, getting all the kids out of the house, and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, there's a fire! And my partner's like running around wondering what to do, and next minute he rips the garden hose through the house and puts out the fire, and I'm like, oh my God, it's electrical, I don't think you should be doing that. And anyway, so it all escalated from there, but anyhow, everyone's still alive.
Oh,
so
that's
the main thing. But yeah, it's very scary.
That is terrifying. And electricity and water.
Doesn't make.
I mean, they're famously friends, aren't they? No, sorry. What I meant to say, what I meant to say is do not mix them.
Do not. Well, we had a scenario recently with the project, and the halfway through the broadcast, the fire alarm went off. So they went to an ad break and then came back after the ad break, and it was the Doghouse Australia.
Which is a great show. Some would argue maybe a better show.
Would you rather watch the project or Doghouse Australia?
And
all the team got evacuated.
1053 UFM. The Novos. Lowest. Deluxe.
And three items placed in order from cheapest to the most expensive. Sounds relatively straightforward, and it is for you Tuesday morning. There is a theme to today's three items. So, again, if you have been listening to what happened on this day a little earlier in the show, you'll have a bit of an inclination as to what it's going to be.
I like that clue. Thing.
You place these three items in the right order, you get yourself a great prize, Crevo.
Certainly do. You've got a family pass to play mini golf at Rippit Golf.
Let's go.
Now, we've all been to Rippit Golf, and we love this place.
Oh, the staff are also really amazing.
There you go. You've got that going for it. The bar and food options are so good. You know, you drive past it, and you just see the mini golf outside. That already looks beautiful. Mm. When you get inside, it blows you away. They've fully redone the inside of that place.
And the sim bays.
Oh, how cool are they as well?
Check it out.
Yeah, the food's really good there. We've all sampled that. Stunning. So, if you want to win this, a family pass to play mini golf at Rippit Golf, call now, 4967 4105.
Heading to Curry with Lou. Morning, Lou. How are you for your Tuesday?
I'm good, thank you. Hi, guys.
Hi, Lou. Now, Lou, straight off the bat, there is a theme to today's Lowest to Lux.
Okay.
Are you right or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Oh, see, you're with 90% of the population.
Yes, one of the normal ones.
You're saying I'm not normal, Lou, I'm left-handed.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
Lou's words, not mine.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, so, Lou, I've picked three left-handed items. Left-handed associated items, and you need to put them in order from the cheapest to the most expensive. It's not too hard, though. You ready?
This is interesting.
Okay. All right. Cheapest to the most expensive.
Cheapest to the most expensive. All right. Kicking things off, left-handed only from Lefty's Kitchen Tool Set. It's on Amazon. It includes a can opener, four bamboo utensils, and an oven mitt designed specifically for left-handed people.
Amazon's doing us proud.
Yes.
Then from Officeworks, Jay Burrow's Comfort Grip left-handed scissors. And finally, a custom-made, I may be left-handed, but I'm always right, a printed T-shirt. It's white with black writing on it from the website Redbubble.
Oh,
so, to go through those three items, a kitchen tool set with a can opener, bamboo utensils, and oven mitt from Amazon, all left-handed, a pair of scissors from Officeworks, or a T-shirt from Redbubble, cheapest to the most expensive.
This is hard.
The floor's yours, Lou.
This is
I think it's going to get a bit hard. I wish I was a left-hander now.
I can tell you it wouldn't make a difference, Lou. I have no clue.
I'm going to go with
Oh, goodness. Okay, I think I'll put the Bunnings scissors first as yep. the cheapest.
Okay.
Oh, the pressure. Oh, goodness.
Gonna have to push you for an answer here.
Sorry, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go the utensils in the middle.
Okay.
And the shirt, the most expensive.
All right, so just to recap, you want to go the scissors, then the utensils. There's our can opener, four bamboo utensils, plus an oven mitt in this kit. And then
a
t-shirt.
Put that at the top, please.
Put that at the top?
Late change.
All right, change.
All right, locked it in.
All right, done.
So we're starting with the cheapest. Lou and Curry said that the J Burrows Comfort Grip left-handed scissors, they're the cheapest from Officeworks. $9.38.
Seems cheap.
Then a late change, the custom made, I may be left-handed, but I'm always right.
It's true.
T-shirt from Redbubble, a white t-shirt with black writing on it, will set you back $20.22.
Good.
Still in this at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you
the
need it.
Lefty's kitchen tool set from Amazon, can opener, bamboo utensils, oven mitt. Is $71.27. So well done, Lou.
Good job on the late change.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
How does it feel to be a winner on a Tuesday?
So good. Yeah, so random. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
On your loop. Our pleasure. And there we go. Who knew left-handed stuff was so expensive? Ari, is it tough out there buying all this left-handed stuff?
It is. Make it cheaper, please. Give me a discount.
Okay, Ari requests it. It's done.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Bit of a niche question between the two of you guys.
Sure.
Have you ever wanted to stay or even holiday in a giant version of your toys, like a dollhouse or a structure made out of Lego or something like that?
Not personally.
Have you thought about it?
Can't say ever crossed my mind.
If once you hear Ed Sheeran's Lego house, though, you do think maybe that could be cool.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Airbnb has done it again. When I saw this, I squealed. Listing a once-in-a-lifetime experience to relive your childhood and stay in a plastic holiday house, basically.
How strange. So what's the theme of it?
All right, here we go. So next month, Mattel's Polly Pocket, if you remember this, is inviting fans everywhere into her world, listing her life-sized 90s slumber party fun compact on the accommodation website.
All right, bit of Polly Pocket to jog your memory. I definitely have heard this ad.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have a TV growing up. I've definitely heard that.
Yeah, but you had Polly Pockets growing up, didn't you?
Of course I did.
Well, Polly Pockets are, these beautiful little dolls, and they had, these kind of soft plastic clothes, so you could, dress up your Polly Pockets. You know, they had these really cool little homes and houses and all these different versions, yeah.
It was sort of like, imagine a doll's house, but it folded up.
Yeah,
and you could
carry it.
You could fit it in your pocket.
Literally.
and that was sort of probably the size of a small butter dish. Would be my description of it.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
But they were in a fun shape, the shape of a circle or a clam or a house or whatever. Yeah.
Sounds like a walking choking hazard. Pretty much.
I mean,
well, you're not wrong.
You're probably right. You don't know if you'd get away with it these days, but it was a very popular toy in the 90s.
Well, imagine these little mini houses or these little pocket staycation things into a ginormous version. So, people size, our size. So based in Littleton over in Massachusetts, guests are invited to stay in Polly's two-story pad, which is 42 feet tall, and explore the toy life, featuring five beds in one bedroom and a private half bathroom as well. You can request to book one of three one-night stays, $89 per person.
Oh, that's a pretty good price.
Per person, wow.
Per person,
that's not too bad. I mean, I think the guy's version was Mighty Max, which was
you've mentioned this before.
A kid's, was the sort of the boy's version. Instead of, a cute heart-shaped one, it was the shape of a gorilla or something, and it'd be...
you know, a gorilla cave or whatever, and you go, oh, that's cool, because you're a boy.
I genuinely have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know. You miss
call me
this,
sheltered. Call me sheltered.
You've missed this cultural moment. It was big in, I think it was like the late 90s.
Would you spend the money to stay in like the Polly Pocket style house, though?
But the Mighty Max
For the
version,
Mighty Max one?
Definitely. Sounds
really?
So cool.
Okay.
Well, because like Polly Pocket was one of my favorite things growing up. It lists on Airbnb's website, which you can make your bookings from late this month. You can get ready in Polly's vanity, which is stuffed with nostalgic hair and nail accessories. There's a retro fridge where you can create your own 90s style snacks, because obviously the 90s is when it was released.
Plastic cheese and stuff.
You can try on the doll life. For Polly's closet. So there's clothes in there
I'm
for
there.
You.
It sounds fantastic. I can't wait to rent it out.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos, driven by Hunter City Motor Group.
And this is purely speculation. I've got no hard proof of this, except that I'm looking at Barack Obama's summer playlist, and I reckon he listens to New FM.
Wait, what?
Oh, so
I reckon somehow the former president has found a way to listen from, well, where's he living now? Not the White House, but
no.
The likes of the White House.
I think I don't know if he lives in Chicago still.
Wherever he lives. Ooh, he's nice. In America. He's found a way to listen. His top songs for summer 2024, it's obviously summer over in the US at the moment.
Yeah.
Shaboozy, a bar song.
I think we're playing that next. I'm not even joking. Yeah.
See, Barack's got...
He knows
got
what he's
in.
Doing.
Yeah.
Charlie XCX is on the list. So is Billie Eilish.
Ooh.
Tommy Richmond, Million Dollar Baby. We're playing
play that.
That
all the
we
time.
Do
yeah.
play that all the time. Queen B, The Rolling Stones. Oh, well, Queen B's Texas Hold'em.
Oh, yeah. I think we played that before.
Miles Smith and Stargazing, huge on TikTok, and we are giving it a spin here as well. Paul Russell, Lil Boothang, we've played it this morning already.
There you go.
I love those songs.
Obama is up with it. He gets it. He understands Newcastle's best music variety.
Sounds like he's got great taste.
Well, certainly. Mm. Perhaps he should, come. We'd give him a tour of the studio if he came out here.
Reckon? We'd give him a bloody job.
Maybe.
Give him a job.
Yeah.
If the president came knocking and said, I'd like to work, do you reckon there'd be a, I don't know.
I'll give you a trial run.
Maybe.
Yeah. Everyone's
got to pass your probation.
Everyone's got to pass probation. It doesn't matter who you are.
Except if you're Barack.
You reckon he gets away? Do you think he gets away with it?
I reckon being the president / former president, yeah. Here's a couple of things that you just let slide.
I don't know. I think you still got to go through probation. You can't just give anyone a job.
Oh, I don't know. That voice of his, it's smooth like butter. I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, right.
What was that accent?
It sounded like it.
Sorry. Oh, jeez.
I wouldn't be starting that this time.
I wouldn't
in the
be doing accents, not at all. No accents on the radio.
Never. Well, here's one of his favourite songs in his summer playlist. I wasn't joking.
Yeah, how good?
You're waking up with the Novos here at New FM.
New FM. The Novos.
Story on the ABC about dogs in the workplace all kicked off after down in Tasmania, there's like their version of the NRMA is called RACT.
Okay.
A sort of insurance and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
They've gone full, like free for all with dogs pretty much. Bring in your dogs, get them a name badge so they get like a tag they have around their neck. And there's like, they said footage of the office. Like 25 dogs just kicking about on one floor.
So they're making their pets their co-workers. Is that what's happening?
I don't think the dogs do any work.
Oh, okay.
It's just basically...
Well, yeah, they're not sitting there typing on the computer.
I don't think they're answering the phones, you know. But it's... it's basically a free-for-all in bringing dogs into work.
All right.
And... On one hand, I sort of thought, oh, that's kind of cool. But then you saw how many dogs were there. Mm-hmm. Surely it's going to kick off fights. Surely some of them would be, you know, dropping off their business on the carpet sometimes.
Becomes an indoor dog park.
Well, yeah. And you wonder how much work actually gets done with that many dogs around.
At the end of the day, it is a workplace. At the end of the day.
So it sort of got like a discussion going on... Dogs at work, is this, like, good or not at this level? This is what I wanted to ask. Ari, I'm going to go to you, because you're a dog lover but not a dog owner, isn't it?
That is very correct. Two things. One, I would absolutely let dogs in the workplace, but there has to be a plan in place. You can only allow one or two at a time.
I don't see that.
That's manageable.
Honestly, they had like 20 in there on the sales floor.
I feel like that's a bit excessive, but I'm still going to stick up for them and say you should absolutely bring your dog in. It creates a better morale at work. Everyone's happy. But at the same time, you know, it's like they can be distracting. They're so beautiful.
Well, if they have the little like passes, maybe some can be fired as well. You know, like if they're causing trouble or whatever, access denied.
Mm.
You know, maybe that's a possibility.
Too many bathroom breaks.
Well, that's it, you know. And this is what I wanted to do here on 4967-4105. Dogs at work, right or wrong? Scott, where do you sit on this?
Again, dog lover, but I don't think they're good for a workplace.
Aww.
I think that, again, a workplace is a workplace. You're there to get stuff done. You can't be having dogs running around. One is a distraction, but also they leave a mess. Some dogs are, they shed, they leave their business everywhere.
Mm.
What about allergies in the workplace? Then you've got to make it fair. What if some people can bring their dog, some people can't bring their dog? Then you've got different breeds to consider. Opens up a whole can of worms. Too complicated, straight down the line, no dogs at work.
It's almost like you need a vetting process, you know. It was like with the dog hair, for example. Like, can you bring like a short haired dog in? Like, that could be the only.
It's discrimination, if you ask me.
Oh,
there we go. Throwing the D word around.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes if you get the D, it's a problem, right? So, this is what we want to have a conversation about. 4967 4105. Dogs at the workplace, right or wrong, because obviously this is down in Tasmania, but these types of trends tend to march north.
They do.
You know, and it won't be long before these conversations will be happening here in Newcastle. Do we think it's right or wrong? Maybe you've got experience with a dog in the workplace type situation.
There's a survey going, a poll I should say, going now on our Instagram page, at the Novos _ straight down the line, dogs at work, yes or no?
Yep.
Overwhelming majority with yes.
Really?
Oh,
overwhelming
yes.
majority that just, again, without taking in the whys and wherefores, the considerations, straight down the line, dogs at work, everyone wants it.
Okay, so here's the state of play in the studio.
Yep.
Scott's a no. Ari's a yes.
Hard yes.
I'm on the fence and we'll be I'll decide based on your calls.
Mm-hmm. And a poll up on our Instagram currently, at the Novos _, 100% of people saying that dogs bring them to work.
Really?
Take them with you. 100% of people.
That is extraordinary.
Mm.
In Carter South, Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm the same as Scott. I mean, I love dogs, but I work in a big box retailer, and people bring their dogs in as therapy dogs, which is great, but we put over the push-to-talk, we call it, code yellow or code brown if there's a poo or a wee that's occurred. So we're the silly ones that have got to clean it up, and the people just... People just wander off. So,
they don't care.
That's so irresponsible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I love dogs. I'd love to take my dog to work, but I know he'd be the same thing and I'd be the culprit that's going to clean him up.
So. Here's the thing too, Matt. Even if you're taking a dog into like an office space or a work environment, say we've got... Round figure, we've got 30 people in the building here at New FM.
Yep.
Can you imagine a dog trying to get familiar with 30 people coming up, Pat, playing with it, wanting to be around it constantly? Imagine how the dog's feeling.
Well,
overwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. Chaotic. And we've got a lot of team members who will take the time to go up and play with the dogs then, and then work's going to come down on them too. We'll get back to work, people.
No, work's getting done. Too distracting.
Matt gets it.
Yeah, he understands the situation.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos, driven by Hunter City Motor Group.
So, I don't know if you guys saw, but there was this whole thing about Jordan Chiles having to return the bronze medal by the IOC following the appeal from the Gymnastics Federation.
What?
It was a whole thing. Now, obviously devastating, right?
Huge.
You got to return your medal.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'd hide it. But not lost it. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works.
Damn.
Anyway, Flavor Flav has jumped in.
Yes.
And offered a bronze clock necklace as a replacement.
Oh. I'd take that. Wouldn't you just be like, you know what? Yes, please. Thank you so much.
Almost better.
Yeah.
You're basically trading. It's an eye for an eye. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll take the bronze clock necklace any day. I think way cooler. And the story. How good's the story that goes with it?
I've never heard of Flavor Flav until these Olympics.
Really? Heard of him?
Never. Well, when you describe him as the person who wears the clock around his neck.
You go, oh, that guy.
From The Simpsons.
Oh, right.
There's a Simpsons episode about him. And that's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But ever since he's had the... financial backing for the women's water polo team.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really come into it, and he's doing great things for the Olympics this year.
I wonder if he's got a new album coming out or something.
Maybe.
Could be something in and around that. With capitalism the way it is, you always have to be suspicious.
Yeah.
That's my advice in life. Always be suspicious.
Making a resurgence of his popularity.
Yeah.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
A luxury Italian fashion house has just launched a high-end version of a kid's DIY trend from, like, nearly two decades ago. I had them in school. I used to trade these with my friends and stuff like that. Used to make them ourselves. Colourful, weird and wacky. They're called Scoobies. Have you ever heard of these guys?
So I couldn't remember it, but when you showed me a picture, I'm just Googling it now.
Yep.
I do sort of recognize it. I don't think it was a trend when I was in school.
It's like those colored keyring things. So yeah, you make them, but they're very, very hard to get started. And then it's like you follow the same pattern and you make like a string thing.
Yeah. You could, there were like books about them to show you how to do them. Like you could do like little square shapes, you could do circles. It was really, really cool. But basically, they're a type of craft made from colorful plastic strings, like a plastic. They're laced together to create these different shapes.
Would you say it's like a generation back loom band kind of situation?
What is a back loom band?
Like
just a loom bands, you know.
That was elastic bands made into bracelets and keychains.
No idea what you're talking about.
Anyway, like a Scooby, but elastic bands.
Fair enough.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so the brand called Miu Miu has just released what they call a leather trick keychain for $700 it's selling for that resembles an elegant version of these little woven Scooby chains.
Oh, I'm sorry, but $700 for a keychain is ridiculous. That is outrageous.
You'd have to make that out of gold to be able to warrant that amount of money, right?
Even then, like even if you went for, you know, 10 carat, it's still not $700. That sort of small amount for a keychain, maybe 200.
What are we discussing recently, Crevo? The cost of the Olympic key rings is now like $6.
Yeah.
It's like super cheap. If you can buy something from the Paris Games for $6, you're not paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
$700.
For a Scooby. No, thank you.
Just like, look, if they brought them back, they brought the materials back, just buy them for like a couple of dollars or a pack for $20 or something.
I'm sure it's on eBay.
Yeah,
And then you can, you know, follow the pattern and for $5 instead of $700.
Yes.
You know what this tells you, though?
What?
People will see anything with a brand on it.
Mm.
And if it's the right brand, a fool and their money are easily parted.
So what are they doing with these Scoobies? What's the point of them?
The Scoobies?
Yeah, well, the things that they're...
The originals?
Yeah, well, what are you doing with this in the article? Like, what are they...
Oh, basically, they're just a keychain that you put on your, like, your little bag.
So it's not even like it's not even like a handle or something. It's literally just a keyring.
It's just there for decoration.
Wow.
Shocking waste of money.
Outrageous. It's crazy, isn't it?
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
It's time for me to get my Antiques Roadshow on. Right, fire up the theme music because you guys like to challenge me to see if I can identify your items, the value, bit of information about them, straight off the cuff, without any prior warning.
Yes, you don't know what any of these items are that we're presenting you with, and we want a value.
That's right.
We want you to value them with your antiques knowledge. Crevo's on Clyde.
Yeah, you're welcome to come in. But also, yeah, let's start with you, Scott.
All right. Well,
what have you got for us?
I bought something in today that my mum and I went op shopping. We found it in a Salvo's in Greater Western Sydney.
Sure.
Cute.
And mum said, I reckon we get some money for this, but again,
interesting.
Not sure
what the value is.
Not sure what the value is. We bought two, and I've got both of them with me. They are...
Double down.
Perfume dabbers.
Oh.
So the very old style crystal glass, you pour your perfume in and it's got like a long stick. Mm. You swirl it around and then you wipe it on your neck or your throat.
Yep.
And it's a good one. It's sealed, rubber sealed. It's crystal. It's see-through. Really, really good conditions.
It's beautiful.
No chips or anything.
Yeah.
A little bit of discoloration on the metal at the top of the thing.
And that's what I might go to have a look at, actually, because the big difference here, if it is, in fact, hallmarked silver, which is what would make this a lot more valuable.
What's hallmarked silver mean?
So when it's something is sterling silver, they put distinctive stamps on it. Right?
Oh, okay.
And those stamps signify where it was made, what year it was made, and you can then tell if it's real silver or just silver plate or just metal.
Wow.
Having a good look at this, this is no silver at all, not even silver plate.
Oh, really?
It is crystal, though, and I would say that this is, just having a look at it, it's probably like 1950s. So earlier than that, it would have had silver plate at a minimum. Yep. So you're probably about that. Quite a nice one. I can't see any chips, which is a good thing.
Good condition.
Considering it's been rolling around my back.
Exactly. The top is sort of like an acorn shape. Yeah. These sort of things are quite popular. I would say you'd have no trouble selling this for about $35.
Do you know what's funny?
Yeah.
And I was going to pull you up on this, but you hit the nail on the head. When we bought these, or Mum bought them, she said, look on Facebook Marketplace and see if anybody else is selling them.
Sure.
And there was one person in the region selling it, and it was you. And you had one at the shop for $35.
And I think we sold it. So
I listed mine for $32.
Now,
you undercut you?
Scotty's cheeky, isn't he?
He is.
You've always got to look out for Scott. He's always trying to undercut. Yeah. Let's have a look at the other one, because you might have a bit of... Let's see if you've got any silver on that. No. They're the same. I would say they're the same, like, maker.
Yeah.
Because your little... that metal bit that we're talking about, the collar on it, is exactly the same shape.
So I'd say
they've come from the same company. And there's maybe been two up for order in a catalogue. Someone's grabbed both of them. If you got them for under $30, you've done well. You've got them under retail.
So if anybody wants these perfume dabbers, find me on Instagram.
Yeah, what's at for apples and oranges?
At for apples and oranges. Send me a message. I'll cut you a deal.
Private message. We'll give you a deal. Probably cheaper than my shop. All right. Now, Ari, you've messaged yours through.
Yes.
Is that something to bring in? All right.
No.
I'm opening it up now.
This is another thing that's been passed through the family, actually.
Interesting. Okay. So what you've got is a fox fur coat by the looks of it.
Indeed, it is.
I can identify the type of fur, because when it's fox, it's long strips like this, right? Long strips sewn together. If it's a different type of fur, you'll have bigger pieces. One of the ones that is a bit less on the nose, because foxes are an invasive species here.
Mm.
If you've got other types of fur, not that popular at the moment. And
yes.
Fur in general as well, not that popular.
Mm.
You can see in the background it looks like a silk lining.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's a bit older. I'm going to go 1930s, 1950s, that sort of era. Without seeing any further detail.
Awesome.
The silk lining is a kind of off pink, like a dusty pink. And, yeah, that really does link it to that. Could be a bit older, towards the 30s.
Yeah.
Value-wise, look, like I said, fur, not that popular these days.
Mm.
You're probably only looking at between $80 and $150. There's no holes or rips.
Interesting.
Not a lot more than that. Like 20 years ago in the 80s, when people still loved fur, this was like $500, but not these days.
$500?
Yeah.
Well, this was my nan's fur coat, actually, many, many years ago now.
The era lines up then.
Yeah, well, apparently my nan back in the day paid a couple of $100 for it. This is like 45, 50 years ago.
There we go.
Yeah.
It was expensive back then. Mm. These days, because, you know, animal rights and all that. But like I said, fox being an invasive species, it's still one that people might sell or buy. But, yeah, not more than about 150 these days.
That's all right. I just won't sell that one.
There we go. Valuing done. Another edition of Crevo the Valuer.
100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos. Driven by Hunter City Motor Group.
So yesterday I did have the day off, felt the need to just have a little bit of downtime. So my partner and I, Will, we were like, oh, what are we going to do today for our day off? So we ended up going to Glenrock, so the state conservation area.
Nice.
Obviously bushwalking galore. It's a haven. It's a paradise. It's incredible. Well, I did mention to Will a long time ago that I hadn't been through down to, like, the lagoon there, like the beach area. You know how there's a walking track that takes you down? So it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll take you. Well, we forgot about the rain and we forgot about how muddy it all was.
Oh,
so
geez.
We got stuck slipping and sliding all through the mud down all these tracks.
Mud.
Oh, we were there for like hours just trying to get through all these trails.
Suddenly you were mud wrestling. It was a whole thing.
Oh, he wishes. No. It wasn't like that. He had to catch me.
Your word's not mine.
He had to catch me a few times because I kept falling over. It was really embarrassing. But the most embarrassing part of that, so we got down to the beach and like there was no one there. It was great. But they have a lot of like kind of flat rocks, perfect for skipping.
Sure.
So skipping rocks across the water. And I can't do it.
How have you not learned that skill?
Well, I tried many years ago. but I just can't do it. And so, Will, of course, he's great at it. So he showed me up. He can, like, skip 6 to 7 times.
Oof.
I just kept throwing mine. It just went, doof, just dropped.
Surely he can, like, do the technique.
Nah, I'm shocking. I tried.
Just throwing it up.
Yeah, frisbeeing it,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, trying to get it, like, bounce off the water. It's harder than what it looks.
Yeah.
No?
It's pretty easy.
It's pretty stock standard.
Maybe it's a guy thing.
Maybe.
Maybe, because I feel like if a guy is next to water and there's flat rocks, you automatically skip rocks.
Universal experience.
Yeah.
Same as finding a nice stick.
Oh,
you pick up a good stick.
That is true as well.
Yeah.
You have to use it as a walking stick.
It's an instinct.
And then you get back to the car after your bushwalk and you go, you look at the stick and you go,
should I keep it?
I can't take it with me. I'll leave it for the next man who will find this.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Universal experiences. You've got to learn to skip rocks, aren't
you? Yeah. You know okay. what? I think that's a very learnable skill in life. If you really admired it, it's achievable.
Make it an Olympic sport.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
And things that you hate but everyone else loves. You find yourself on an island sometimes and you've got an opinion. You go, it's a hill you're going to die on or an island you're going to die on. Everyone goes, no, can't agree with you.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because you can, like you said, it can feel quite isolated.
Mm. Now, the Reddit thread where I got this talk topic from goes into shows like American Idol and reality TV that everyone loves reality stuff and watching people.
Mm.
But then there are some out there that go, nah, I hate it. And again, it is just a difference of opinion. So these people on there saying they hate the ASMR, like the noises that are meant to relax you and calm you down.
I agree. I can't get around it.
I don't understand the interest in
that.
Again, a lot of people do like that stuff. Same as white noise. Mm. Plain white noise as you go into sleep. I don't understand it.
Turn it off.
Something that I hate that everyone else loves, or two things I'm going to go with.
Sure.
One, vegetables. Everyone is cracking at me for my lack of vegetable eating, and they're saying that you have to eat your vegetables. No, you absolutely do not. I have the palate of a 4-year-old. I don't want to eat my vegetables.
You like your dino nuggets?
Exactly. The fact that I'm approaching 30
chicken
is irrelevant. Exactly. Exactly.
And a happy meal.
Oh, no. You like hot chips, Scott.
I do like hot chips. Potato.
Deep fried.
It's potato. There we go.
Fair enough.
Sorted it out.
Yeah.
Another one that I hate that everyone else seems to love is the telly show Friends. I've never met somebody who goes, I hate it as much as you do.
That's an unpopular opinion.
Very unpopular opinion.
Mm.
And, yeah, I can't get around it. Pivot. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Around the team. Things that you hate that everyone else loves.
Okay, for me, I'll kick things off. Watching sports on TV. You know what? It's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, it is.
What do you watch then?
What do you mean? Just not
Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah. You'd be surprised there are other things on TV.
There are, but you don't get like the whole beauty of sport is that it's like a one-time thing. You watch it in the moment. You can watch the replay, of course, but like you watch it in the moment because the next game will be completely different.
True.
Nah.
You couldn't care.
Couldn't care. It's honestly, it's just not something I was brought up on. It just wasn't around.
Okay.
What else do I say? Okay. It's just not something I like. Another one I would like to nominate, TikTok.
Oh,
a lot of people, it's very popular, I've heard. I did use it for about 2 months. You know what I found about it?
What?
It was like almost too good. It just like sucked you in too much. I was like, oh my God, 2 hours has passed.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't really like the addiction level of it?
Yeah, it was just it drew me in too much. So I'm saying I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't want to be, I can't spend that much time on any one thing.
I wish I hated it.
You love it, don't you?
I love it. Spend way too much time. TikTok would be my most used app.
I
understand why you'd hate it, but at the same time, why could you hate something so good?
It is very entertaining. I can back Scott up on that. Two things for me as well. Let's stick with that bandwagon. Like the cult classics like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, hate them.
What?
Star Wars?
I can't get around it, but everyone like swears by them. They think that they're the best things ever made.
I can get Lord of the Rings. I'm not a massive Lord of the Rings fan. I wouldn't say I hate it, but I understand that is a niche in its own.
Sure.
Yeah,
I understand
interesting.
That, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Well,
there we go. So they're your ones.
There's one more. The weird disorientation that you get after a nap. I hate napping. People love it for a rest and a good kip. That's fantastic. Sure. I hate it because I wake up going, what planet am I on? What time is it? What year is it? I can't figure it out. I'm all
here to wake up. It's 2024. Yeah. Planet Earth. There you go. Just write that on your hand. You'll be fine when you wake up. That's all you need to know.
UFM. The Novos.
Almost done for the day.
You.
We do have to award our prize of the day, though. It goes to Kim in Maitland. We were talking earlier about fire stories, and she caught her bedroom on fire by trying to make a a treasure map as a kid.
Char grilled.
We'll burn the edges with a candle.
Make it look authentic.
Do that under adult supervision.
Quite literally backfired.
Oh, you did there, and I did not enjoy it.
Okay. What happened to my quacking duck?
Oh, sorry. Here we go. That's made it more fun. Now, you've got your trivia sensation tonight, Scott.
I do. 7 o'clock, Sydney Junction Hotel, Beaumont Street in Hamilton. If you want to come along.
Newcastle's best trivia host. Well, won the award 2 years running, right?
2 years? Don't know about that. If you mention that you heard about it on the radio, you get a bonus point.
Oof, how good's that?
So come along, 7 o'clock, we kick off. More than welcome.
The more the merrier.
It was halfway between you're more than welcome and the more the merrier, and I'm like, the more the welcome. There we go.
I think we'll leave it on that. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
That was The Novos. You want more, right? Sure, just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au, and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.